Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Todd. Open your Bible tonight to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And I started a message last week entitled, What to Do When You're at Your Wit's End. What to do when you're at your wit's end. Let me tell you a little bit of the story here in Exodus 14. Israel has just been delivered from Egyptian bondage. At the beginning, Pharaoh and the people were glad to get rid of them. But they had second thoughts. And before Israel could cross over the Red Sea and get out of Egypt, Pharaoh and all of his armies and his chariots began to pursue after them. Now then, Moses and all of the children of Israel is there on the Egypt side of the Red Sea. And the Red Sea is before them, and Pharaoh and his armies are pursuing after them, behind them. They can hear the noise of the chariots. They can see the dust. And they're afraid. And I think we'll begin to read, beginning in verse number 10. The Bible says, And when Pharaoh, stand if you will please, out of love and respect for the word of God. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Now notice, they cried out to the Lord, and then they began to complain to Moses. And they said to Moses, Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? For wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They forgot that had not God intervened for them and had used Moses concerning the Passover in Egypt, the firstborn of all of the families would already be dead. They'd forgotten about God's mighty deliverance, and now they're beginning to complain. It says, Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Saying, We know better, we knew better, you ought not to have done this. Isn't it amazing how that when you get into a crisis situation, you're always quick to blame somebody else, make accusation, find fault, point the finger to get it away from you. Hey, how many times have you been doing everything right and find yourself in a difficult situation? Sometimes difficult situations come in our life when we're walking in the will of God. We need to be mindful of that. They were where God wanted them. They were getting ready to cross over the Red Sea. God had just delivered them by a mighty hand out of Pharaoh's hands. And the Bible says, And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Now it looked desperate, folks. It looked desperate. Here they could hear the enormous noise of all of these horses and chariots, the dust clouds from hundreds of chariots coming down on them. There they are with all of their possessions, standing on the bank of the Red Sea. Nobody has a boat. There's no ships docked there to take them across. They don't even have a P-row. That's a little flat-bottom one-man boat they use in Louisiana on the bayous. They have nothing. And they're frantic. They don't know what to do. They've begun to accuse. Moses said, wait a minute, God's already got the thing worked out. Hey, did you ever stop to think when you're living in the will of God, in the place of God, doing what God has given you to do, and you find yourself in a tough place, God's already got the situation worked out for you if you'll just stand still and be faithful and trust God. God's not caught by surprise by our problems. God never comes to His wit's end. It's always us. And we come to our wit's end because we keep our eyes on the problems and not the problem solver. We keep our eyes on the difficulties, not the one who is able. And that's what they're doing. They're looking at the armies and they're looking at the Red Sea. They can smell the dust, hear the horses, and all they know to do is complain and blame someone. Moses said, don't worry, I've got a word from God. I've already been with God. God's already told me what we're going to do. Oh my, it's good to spend time with God. It's good to have the answer to the problem before the problem really comes to reality. And you say, well, how in the world can that happen? Learn to live by Bible principles. When you make your decisions based on Bible principles, not emotion, not feelings, not political expediency, not your pocketbook, when you make your decisions based on Bible principle, then you can go to the Word of God and have a Word of God for your problem and your situation, because God doesn't change and God doesn't lie. He's put these things down in the Bible for us so that when we come in the flesh to our wit's end, we can know what to do. Now, Father, we thank You for this lesson. We've enjoyed studying it and preaching part of it last week, and we're looking forward to some more tonight. And yet, Father, we know that we have no power and no answer in ourselves. The answers that we need for life come from God, and You loved us enough so You could put it down. You put it down in Your holy, inerrant, inspired, preserved Word of God, so any Tom, Dick, or Harry, Joe, Sue, or Mary, on any day of any week, with any crisis, can open the Bible and have a word from God. Help us to learn to live by it. Help us to learn to seek out the teachings and the principles that You set forth in Scripture, so that we might order our life according to Your will, and have Your blessings and Your power working for us. Now help me tonight as I preach, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last week we preached 2 points. What do you do when you come to your wit's end? What in the world should these Israelites do when they find themselves backed up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army pursuing after them? And I told you last week, the first thing you don't do, is listen to those who are not of faith, who will gladly give you the advice of the mixed multitude. You see, not everybody that came out of Egypt was part of God's family. There was a mixed multitude. And everywhere you go, at every stop, there's always some complainers there. There's always somebody speaking against God's will and God's man and God's plan and so forth. And I'm telling you, there's always some people, God's people, who for some reason or another don't know how to tune God in, but they don't have any problem tuning these people in who have no faith, who are living by flesh and walking by sight and flesh. The first thing we must not do when we come to our wit's end is seek counsel and advice from those who are not of faith. If they're not on victory side of the Christian life, then I don't need to go through to them for counsel. And I dealt with that last week, and I'm not going to spend more time on there. But a lot of mistakes are made because we go to people who have already failed in that particular area, and we ask them to give us counsel so we can fail like they can. Second thing we must not do when we come to our wits' end, we must not go back to Egypt. Egypt never held the answer for Israel. Hey, the fact is, they lost their heritage because of corn in Egypt. They went to Egypt for corn. You say, what do you mean? Remember when Caleb said after they got into the promised land when he is 85 years old, I want that mountain? You ever wonder why he wanted that mountain? You say, well, that's where the giants lived. Well, I think that's part of it, but I don't think it's all of it. The giants scared the 10 spies to death, and they said, we can't do it. And Caleb said, we could. Joshua said, we could. Now then, God said, I'm going to give you your choice of anywhere. And Caleb said, I want that mountain. Kirjath Arba. But there's more to it than that. If you go back and follow that back through Genesis, you'll find out that when Sarah, Abraham's wife, died, he bought a plot of ground in Kirjath Arba with a cave in it. And there he buried his wife. And there he was buried, and other family members were buried there. And when Jacob went to Egypt for corn, the giants moved in and took that over. Hey, Egypt is not the answer. God's the answer. Egypt is a picture of the world. And when we start running to the world for help, for our crisis, for our problems, we're in a world of trouble. Now we'll begin tonight. What do you do when you come to your wits' end? When you come to your wits' end, don't be afraid to trust and obey God. Don't be afraid to trust and obey God. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now he said, fear ye not. Now that's easy to say, but it's not easy to practice. They've got a choice of drowning in the sea or being killed by Pharaoh and his army. They were afraid. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. What he was saying was, trust God. Trust God. Do what God says to do. You see, fear reveals the absence of faith. Fear reveals the absence of faith. You see signs every now and then. No fear. Yeah, no faith. Fear reveals the absence of faith. When you choose to live in fear, you also choose to forfeit the blessings of God. What he's saying when he said, fear not, you know, the Bible says, fear the Lord. He's not saying that fear in itself, used in the context God gives it, is bad, but he's saying, don't let fear paralyze you. Don't let fear paralyze you. Fear not. Fear not. Trust God. Don't let your fears become bigger than God. Sin makes us fearless or fearful and faithless. Fear fogs the Christian's mind. Fear exaggerates the power of the enemy and minimizes the power of our great God. Fear puts the Christian servant on the shelf as unusable. Fear prevents us from ever winning the victory over the enemy that's hindering us. Fear pushes God out of our life as the preeminent one. I can tell you hundreds of times that Satan has lied to me and hurt me. But I cannot tell you one time that God has led me to the place where He lied to me. He has not done anything but good for my life. You can't say that about Satan. Fear God, fear not. Trust God. Trust God. Now understand that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is fear under control. Fear not. God's telling them and us to get your fear under control. Fear robs us of our trust in God. This isn't very spiritual, but it sure is good. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Now that's good. That's good. God said, don't be afraid to trust God. Don't be afraid to obey God. When God tells us to do something, every step of faith from the human perspective has uncertainty connected with it. But we step out any the way because God said, come on, come on. Peter, Lord, if you'll beckon me, I'll walk to you on the water. The Lord said, come on. I'll be honest with you. It'd be hard to step out on that water even after God said, come on, Peter. But we've got to overcome. And hey, it's fear that causes us to lose our faith in God. We've got to overcome that and learn to trust God and obey God. I promise you, when God called me to preach, it scared me to death. But it went on. When God called me to the first church I pastored, I knew less about pastoring than any human being alive. He said, well, why'd you do it? Because God said do it. And I went on, afraid, yes. But courage is fear under control. Been scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Trust God. Trust God. And you don't trust God if you don't obey God. We've got to realize that God is still God regardless of the circumstances. So what do you do when you come to your wits' end? You don't be afraid. You trust God. You don't let fear paralyze you. The second thing, When you come to your wits' end, don't know what to do, stand still and look for God. Look at verse 13. Moses said unto them, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Notice it wasn't the salvation of Moses. It wasn't the salvation of Joshua or Caleb. It was the Lord that was about to intervene for them. You know, we don't see God at work in our life like we could because we're always so quick to take matters in our own hands. And when we take matters in our own hands, we're saying, God, I can do it. I don't need you. Fear not. Stand still. Now that word, that statement, stand still, means don't do God's work for it. It doesn't mean to stand still and do nothing. It doesn't mean to stop trusting. It doesn't mean to stop obeying. It doesn't mean stop serving. It's kind of like wait on the Lord. It means keep on serving the Lord and you'll get new strength as you serve. Don't mean to sit down and do nothing. God's saying, hey, give me an opportunity to do this for you. Give me an opportunity to intervene for you. Wait on the Lord. Stand still. Stay where you are until God says move. Now, look. Here they were. Pharaoh's coming this way. Red Sea's this way. What are they going to do? They can run this way and run head on into the Pharaoh's army, or they can jump in the Red Sea and leave all their possessions and swim a little that way out there and probably drown. God said, hey, I've got it worked out. Just fear not and stand still. Stand still. Trust me. Trust me. Now, let me tell you, don't you stand still unless you got a word from God to stand still. When a bear's running from after me, when a 600-pound bear's coming after me, this body is not going to stand still unless I've got a word from God. I'm going to put on the afterburner if I can. If I have any wounds on my body, they're going to be on my backside. Because I'm going to be moving on. But he said to them, stand still. You can't do it. You can't fix it. There's nothing you can do. Trust God. So what do you do when you're at your wit's end? Stand still and look for God. Look for God. Now, you say, man, how could they see God? Well, there was a pillar of cloud there that represented the presence of the Shekinah God, the Shekinah of God, His presence. And not only that, you read the Scripture and the angel of God was sent to stand between them and the Egyptians. Look for God. You say, but I don't know if I'd recognize him. Well, you better get better acquainted with him. Hey, remember old Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon? He wasn't a child of God. He was an old pagan king. And he put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He looked over in there and there's up walking around. He said, I thought we'd put three in there. And I see four, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. He recognized God and didn't even claim to be one of God's children. Dear goodness, you claim to be a child of God and don't recognize Him when He's at work. Don't recognize Him when He moves. You don't recognize Him when He speaks. You better get acquainted with God. You're going to come to your wit's end over and over again. And, oh, we need to learn how to stand still and look for God. He was there. God wants us to get out of panic mode and stand still. He wants to work for us if we'll let Him. If you're going to try to do it yourself, all by yourself, then how's God going to get any glory if He works for you? You'd take the credit for it. He said, fear not and stand still and look. God's fixing to do something big for you. Have you ever had God do something big for you? Yeah. Amen. Boy, I cannot tell you how exciting it is to hear and feel God's presence. To hear Him speak to your heart in that still small voice. I'm telling you, when God saved me, I knew I was as lost as any sinner that's ever lived on this earth. You say, how'd you know that? God in His Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and revealed my lost condition. When God called me to preach, I didn't hear audible voice. But I'm telling you, the presence of God was as real that Sunday afternoon, all afternoon. That night, I don't have a focused idea what the preacher preached on. All I could hear was one message coming from God. But it was real. And it has sustained me in the calling of God to God's work in ministry over these 45 years. Have you ever had God speak to you? Let me suggest that you slow down enough. God, I got this problem. I'd appreciate your help. Zoom. You've got a chance to speak to you. You listen to the psalmist, and the Bible says He mused while the fire burned. Says he, Selah, stop and think about it. In those, after you've been in prayer and after you've been reading the scripture, it would be good if you just sat down and listen for his still small voice. Ask him what you should do. Don't make your mind up without asking him. And then listen for him. If you don't have God's direction, don't do it. If you don't have God's calling on your life, don't surrender to preach. If God didn't say jump in the Red Sea and start swimming, don't move. Don't go. Stay where you are until you have a word from God. It was about, had they moved, they'd have got out of the frying pan into the fire. Trust God. Yield to God. Pray. Stand still. Quit complaining. Don't take matters into your own hands. Let God do His work. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, listen, when God uses that word salvation, when He's talking about saving my soul, that was big stuff. But also He talks about salvation in the context of saving their lives. That was big stuff. Has God ever performed His big stuff for you? Maybe when you came to that place where you're at wit's end, you listened to the wrong crowd. Or you let fear paralyze you. Or you went back to Egypt instead of standing still and giving God an opportunity to work. Let me hurry on. I've got time for one more. Look at verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. When you come to your wit's end, learn to let God fight your battles for you. Now listen to me. There are things that are my responsibility. But there are also things that I have no control over. There are things that are beyond my human ability. I believe we ought to do what we can do. I believe if there had been a big freight liner there that would hold 3.5 million Israelites, God would have said, hey, get on that freight liner. They'll stop at the Red Sea. But there wasn't anything there. There wasn't anything. All they had was God, and that was more than enough. And I want you to know, when we come to those places where we cannot do for ourselves what needs to be done, stand still. Be not afraid. Give God an opportunity to do His work. He'll fight those battles for you. He'll fight those battles for you. Have you ever had God fight a battle for you? Amen. There's some Christians think that every time somebody says something about them, they need to get even. Hey, learn to let God fight those battles for you. Well, they hurt me. Well, do you have to hurt them back? Let God deal with it. Let God deal with it. Well, this preacher said something bad about my preacher. Well, that's all right. He's not the first one. He won't be the last one. Let God take care of it. God enjoys fighting the battle for His children. Boy, I always loved it when my children came to me and said, Daddy, I don't know what to do. I need help. And man, I felt like Superman. And you know, God wants us to let Him help us. He wants us to let Him fight those battles that we cannot deal with. We cannot handle ourselves. Now, those Jews were shepherds and they'd learned how to make brick. They were slaves. They were not warriors. They did not have swords. They did not have any kind of military weapon. All they had was God. And what God was about to do for them was more than they could have done with smart bombs and F-16s and F-22s and tanks and on and on and on. When God got through with it, hey, He said, don't worry. They're not going to come any further than this. The pillar of cloud was there. The angel of God was there. They're not going to come any further than this until I'm ready for them. God said, in the meantime, you get ready. And He just parted the sea. And they took their cattle, they took their sheep, they took their wagons, they took whatever they had, and they crossed over on dry ground to the other side. And when they were safe on the other side, God withdrew the cloud. He withdrew the angel. And they came on. And they went into the sea, and God waited until they were just in the midst of the sea, beyond the point of no return. And God just let the waters come in on them. That bunch of Jews that were at their wits' end, when they quit listening to those not of faith, when they decided we're not going back to Egypt, when they decided they were not going to let fear paralyze them, and they stood still and gave God an opportunity to work for them, they stood over on the other side and watched the waters come in and cover the Egyptians. Those that were paralyzed with fear are now singing victory song. Victory song. Have you ever sung victory's song? When you got God got through doing His work, fighting that battle for you, delivering you from that crisis, have you stood on the other side and looked back and thought, you know, didn't look that bad standing here when they were drowning? And you sing victory. Father, that's our message tonight. Lord God, we find ourselves in difficult times. And the truth is, between now and when Jesus comes back, the Bible says there's going to be perilous times. We're going to come to our wits' end again and again and again. Lord, let us know these simple truths and simple principles You lay down in Your Word. You record it for our good, for our benefit. It's not just Israel You wanted to help. You want to help us. You want to bless us. You want to deliver us out of our problems and out of our heartaches. You want to fight for us. That'll never happen as long as we allow fear to paralyze us and stop us in our trust and obedience to God. That'll never happen until we stop running and stand still where God has put us and keep on doing what God last told us until God gives us new orders. Speak to our hearts. Let us learn from this lesson. We'll thank You for all that You have done for us and all that You're doing and all You shall do in Jesus' name.